In 1966, a young Jewish rabbi named Harold Kushner learned the devastating news that his three-year-old son, who had stopped growing and had lost all of his hair, suffered from a rare genetic disorder known as progeria, or rapid aging. His son would rapidly age and not grow to be taller than about 3 feet and would die by the time he was 14 years old. Now, this shattered the worldview of Rabbi Kushner. While he was a fairly inexperienced rabbi, he was still the one who comforted the people in his congregation when they went through their own suffering and hard times. To him, God was like a good parent who disciplined you if you strayed and got out of line, but who ultimately had your best interests in mind, so that if you did wrong, bad things would happen to you, but if you did good, then God would bless you. And so for this tragedy to strike him and to his own family was a huge distraction for him. He was someone who was good, he was upright, he was holy, he was blameless, he followed the commandments, he fasted, observed all the right holy days. And so this made no sense to him in his understanding of who God was. He could not understand why bad things happen to good people. And so he set out to answer the question of why do bad things happen to good people. And he said that he knew during the time of his son's life that he would one day write a book that dealt with suffering. And it would not be a lofty theological treatise on God and suffering, but it would be a very personal, a very real book. And in 1981, he did that when he wrote the book titled When Bad Things Happen to Good People. And he popularized this question of why do bad things happen to good people? But the question is as old as time. In fact, in one of our oldest extant books in the Bible, the book of Job, deals with this exact question. In the book of Job, Job is afflicted with the sudden deaths of all of his children, the loss of all of his wealth, and he has boils all over his body and is in intense pain and suffering. And so the book deals with the suffering of a righteous man and his questioning of God. In Job, the prevailing theology of the time was that if you do bad things, then bad things will follow you. You will endure suffering. But if you do good things, then God will bless you. But the whole of the Bible, if we look at the Old and New Testament together, gives us three broad categories for why bad things happen to people. First would be our own sin and our own desires and fallings and shortcomings. If I were to smoke for 40 years and come down with lung cancer, I don't think many of us in today's age would be surprised at that anymore. Of course, we would be sad and people would empathize and would seek to support me, but we wouldn't be surprised at what had happened. Or if I were texting and driving and I got into an accident and suffered as a result, again, I would have taken my own life into my hands as I was not paying attention while driving. The second category we can suffer for is other people's sins. If a husband were to betray his wife, that wife would suffer for what her husband had done. Or if a drunk driver were to get into a car and kill two young college girls, their friends and their families would suffer as a result of that man's poor decision. And the third category, this is the one that I think most people really wrestle with and most people often blame God for, and it is the fallenness or the brokenness of creation. When God created the world, it was good, and humanity enjoyed perfect fellowship with God in the garden. But once the serpent tempted Adam and Eve in the garden, and they ate of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, sin and brokenness entered into our world. But it was not God's design for this world, and he is not the author of evil. Romans tells us that through Adam's eating of the fruit, we all suffer and will therefore die. So we have a broken relationship with God and with each other and with creation as a result of the fall. And so because of this broken relationship with creation, we experience a lot of suffering. Think of the tornado that went through Moore, Oklahoma last year and killed the innocent children who were seeking shelter in their school. or of different cancers that grow in our bodies and cause suffering and even death. These are not punishments sent by God, but they are a result of the brokenness of creation. But they can cause much suffering in our lives. If you turn to our passage today in 1 Peter chapter 2, it deals just with this issue of why do bad things happen to good people? In the beginning of the passage, it says, "For it is to your credit if, being aware of God, you endure pain while suffering unjustly." We will suffer for injustices and the brokenness of creation. But if we endure for something we did wrong, what credit is that? Everyone expects that you'll suffer for your own sins, the passage says. But if you endure when you do what is right and you suffer for it, you have God's approval, or it is commendable to God. This finds favor in God's sight. It goes on to say, "For to this you have been called, to suffering we have been called," it says, "because as Christians, Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example so that we should follow in his steps. Christ came to enter into suffering as God in order to redeem it." Christ was the ultimate good person. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth, the passage says. So he entered into our suffering. He was the just for the unjust. He came, he was betrayed, he was beaten, humiliated, and crucified for us so that we can have life. So rather than standing outside of suffering as God and looking down on us in our misery, he came down to defeat it in a radical way by enduring it himself and ultimately being victorious over death through his resurrection. God showed his power over suffering and death by his resurrection. And so this passage tells us that Christ came, first of all, as an example for us when we endure suffering. We can bear up under it, knowing that Christ himself has endured suffering and has defeated it. By his wounds, we are healed. Matthew tells us to take up our cross and follow Christ. Unfortunately for Rabbi Kushner, though, he could not make this step of belief. He said, "I don't know what it means for God to suffer. I don't believe that God is a person like me with real eyes and real tear ducts to cry or with nerve endings to feel pain." And so Rabbi Kushner missed out on seeing the transformative power of Christ to enter into and redeem our suffering. As the 1 Peter passage ends, it says, "We were all going astray like sheep, but now we have returned to the shepherd and guardian of our souls." Christ also is our shepherd in the midst of our suffering. Our gospel reading today speaks of Christ as our shepherd. And in the next verse following this passage, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for his people." That is just what Christ has done. He has laid down his life for us. And our psalm today, Psalm 23, has brought great comfort to people throughout generations, and it also speaks of God as our shepherd. So with Christ as our shepherd, we shall not want. He makes us lie down in green pastures, and he leads us beside quiet waters. For a sheep, pastures and water would have meant life, and that is what Christ is giving us and offers us. He restores our souls in the midst of our suffering. And the psalmist knows that we will all suffer. It doesn't say, "if you walk through the valley of the shadow of death," but it says, "even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, when you walk through it, we will fear no evil, for he is with us. His rod and his staff, they comfort us." We will all go through suffering. All of us will experience the brokenness of this world, but we have Christ as our shepherd, one who has endured suffering himself to guide us and to comfort us in the midst of it. My 35-year-old sister-in-law was struggling with infertility and wondering if she would be able to have more children. Last summer, she found a lump in her breast and learned that she had breast cancer. She has since undergone a double mastectomy and has had chemotherapy and is now on drugs that are shutting down her ovaries for the next 2 years. She doesn't know if she'll ever be able to have children again. But she started a blog, and she calls it and her suffering, like the death of Lazarus, an occasion to glorify God. And she wrote this prayer on her blog, saying to God, "Your will be done. Remind me that you are in control. Whatever the outcome," wow, that's hard to say, she says. "I'm grieving the possibility that I may never be able to bear another child. I'm grieving that this cancer is going to follow me the rest of my life. Give me comfort. You know how my situation will best bring glory to your name. You know how it will make me look more like Jesus and all those close to me. Heaven come down, Jesus be near. Spirit, we beg you for comfort. I can't go through this without you, as much as I try and do this all on my own. Please go ahead of us." My sister-in-law knows Jesus as her comforter and her shepherd in the midst of her suffering, and she begs him to come near, as he promises to do and to be. Finally, though, Christ is not just our example and our shepherd, but he is also the power within us that gives us the strength to endure. 1 Corinthians 15 says that Christ became life-giving spirit for us. He sent his Holy Spirit, our great comforter, to be with us, to go before us, and to remain with us in the midst of our suffering. Christ gives us the strength to endure the suffering and the brokenness of this world. And we can experience this power, we can experience his presence in many ways, but especially today as we gather together for public worship, as we listen to and hear the reading of God's word and the preaching of it, and as we come together at the Lord's table for the breaking of bread, just as the disciples did in Acts after Christ's resurrection. And so as we conclude, I come back to this question of why do bad things happen to good people? Bad things happen because we live in a fallen world, but Jesus Christ, the ultimate good person, endured the ultimate evil for us so that we can have life. And so in the midst of our suffering, Jesus is our shepherd, our example, but most importantly, he is the power within us that will enable us to endure it.